Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy, and welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard, and we're going right into the scriptures, and we're going to get into our message tonight, darkness prevailing in the land. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard many messages, no doubt, that we are in the last days, and this message will be no exception. However, we are now falling into the signs of the last days of Matthew chapter 24. Now, we spoke last message when Christ stood before Pilate, and Pilate demanded to know what is truth. And our question to you tonight, the responsibility falls upon you to ask the same question. Yet in the age of darkness, this is not the age of light. The Bible says, for any light that is to be examined within you, to make sure that that light in you be not darkness. Are you in darkness tonight? Are you beholding the darkness of the land? Are you being conditioned to accept the status quo of your government system that promotes the evil that the Bible tells you to shun? Well, in the 30th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, we're going to go right there for our beginning text of darkness over the land. Alas, for that great day. That day is great, so that there be none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now, we're going to talk about, if you will, a system that has been devised to condition your mind. Did you know the Bible says, actually, that the time will come that they will call good evil and evil good? Do you realize that these things are happening right now, in this age, in this day, that information of justification, confusion's reigning, all kinds of winds and doctrines are being preached, different times to worship, no regularity, no truth. In exchange for truth, we've had to give away our ability to preach the gospel in season. Remember, the apostolic fathers and all the prophets before them suffered for the truth of the gospel. Now, with the advent of the Passion opening on the 25th day of this month, that was Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, in the religious world it is known as, for the Catholic Church, and a lot of others that observe Lent and things of this nature, we have the display of the horrible treatment that Christ was under when they persecuted him. Now, the Bible says, if they've persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Who are they? Well, it could be your neighbor down the street. It could be your local pastor. It could be anyone that is against the truth. Now, Pilate asked for the truth. He was afraid of this man. He'd been warned by his wife not to have anything to do with this man. Are we so afraid of truth that we don't want anything to do with the truth? You see, Christ was the truth. However, when he came into the system, the government system, the Sanhedrin, and the occupation of a country that he had chosen thousands of years previous for these people to be there to welcome him as their Messiah, Redeemer. Instead, they evil entreated him. They persecuted him. You know, they literally had a warrant out for his arrest and his death. He had a price on his head. And today, the truth has got a price on its head. The Bible said, in the last days, they will cast the truth to the ground, and they shall prosper. Well, I don't know where you are aware. I'm sure you are, as news travels fast in this information age. And one of the great things that we have is that information is now appearing faster than any time in history. It used to take many, many days for an event in the world to reach other nations. Now it's instantaneous with CNN, Fox News Network, CBS, ABC, and NBC, and all these affiliates, and all of these TV stations around the world, 24/7 newscasters. They're waiting for something to happen so that they can bring the hungry masses that are actually hungry for these type of situations. For instance, earthquakes, thousands can be killed, maimed, homes destroyed, families without shelter, and people sit there conditioned as it is a normal event with no response. After they ingest this, they look at the horrible plight of these people, shake their head, wipe their mouth, as the whorish woman that is just engaged in illicit sex and says she's done no wrong. America is the breadbasket of the world. Well, the bread that we are eating now in America is stale. The religious bread that's been fed to its peoples around the world with the religious bell box system is giving us a diet of darkness, a diet of seem right. The Bible said there's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death, and from such to turn away. Ladies and gentlemen, are we at the expense of our own souls? Are we selling out to those who are over us, telling us what to say in the Bible? We can only say so many politically correct things over the airwaves. We can no longer preach, thus saith the word of God, and bring forth the recorded examples of racial covenant identity for a people that has kept the faith and hadn't denied his name. We can no longer do that without breaking some kind of a law that is designed to take us out of the truth of the gospel and put us into a humanist, seem right, politically correct agenda of those who are trying to force us into a all-world, universal system of collective brotherhood run by Big Brother, where that we have our daily ingestion of the propaganda that they put out rather than the convictions and the faith and the justification of what thus saith the Word of God. The Bible says that they will turn from the truth. Pilate really wanted to know why or what or when or where the truth was, because he had never found it. As he washed his hands of the innocency that he projected, that he himself was not involved in putting Christ to death, as he washed his hands before the Sanhedrin court that was trying Christ in his presence, and as they led him away to crucify him and to kill him at the command of Pilate. And see, ladies and gentlemen, you can't have it both ways. You will either stand for something or you'll fall for everything, and most of it wrong. there's a darkness prevailing over the land. The Bible said in that day there should be darkness to cover the land, just like the earthquake. You see, he was actually on the torture stake for 3 hours. And in this 3 hours of this impaling upon a torture stake, he died at 3 o'clock between the two evenings. And the Bible said there was an earthquake at that hour, the ninth hour of the day. At 3 o'clock would be our time, as we now keep time in a different time frame as they did. However, the ninth hour would have been 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. in the evening. It is a time of darkness. And we are in the last days, and Christ spoke of those last days of the time of Jacob's trouble that would come upon the land to try those who are in the land to be proven whether they're worthy to stand and to stand in the truth. Now the Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There is a difference between made free and set free. Some religious systems set you free. They keep you bound by dogmas and creeds and by church doctrine that has been established by unholy men, not holy men. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says from a babe you've known the scriptures and you know that form of doctrine. Well, can we stand on our own? Can we walk on our own? Do we have to have all of these to tell us what to do in the last days, when Matthew says in the last days, these signs shall be prevailing in the land as there was darkness at the third hour or the ninth hour of the 3 hour passion of Christ when he hung on the torture stake. Listen what it says about the Pharisaical system that hung Christ in the presence of all to see. You see, the Bible said he was a righteous man who did no evil. He actually taught a nonviolent approach to salvation. You see, salvation is gained not through violence, but through faith. But you cannot have the two. You're either going to, you can't serve God or man, and you're going to have to choose this day who you're going to serve. And so it seems like to me in this last day that those who call themselves Christians are nothing but warmed over make believers for when the time comes to be tried, they don't even know what the first commandment is. Now the Bible says if you say that you love God and you won't keep his commandments, you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. Most people don't even know when the Sabbath day comes. Have you got it into your understanding that the light in you would be sufficient to give you an orderly step toward, or in better terms, as you run the race, you better have some light before you. And the Bible said we all run the race. But enable for you to finish, you must know in what direction you're stepping. Now, the Bible said if the blind follow the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. You must come out of the ditch of religion into the very face of salvation. Now, there's a price to salvation. The Bible said he didn't come to bring peace. He come to bring division. He come to separate you with the truth. And when the truth comes, it will separate you from wife, husband, children, mother, father, brother. It will isolate you. If you're fortunate enough to have a visitation of truth that Pilate sought just hours prior to seeing the Son of God die for his salvational truths that he wanted to see but was not willing to pay the price to get. You see, there's a price for truth. And that price is, perhaps, even your faith to walk alone if it so requires. You see, the Bible says that the Father will try every one that cometh to him. Now, how are you going to be tried? Well, the Bible says you will be tried as gold tried in the fire. Are you a worthy piece of gold for the metal or for the fire? Are you able to withstand the pressure of the fire that it takes to break you down and to remove all the dross, in other words, the unfit metals of your belief system? Are you able to withstand the fire? You know, the Bible says that all of Jacob Israel will go through the fire and will be refined in the refiner's fire, but only approximately one-third of those that enter the fire will come forth as pure gold. Now, ladies and gentlemen, out of the whole, one-third makes it through as pure gold. Now, the Bible said there's a 30-fold faith system of belief. There is a 60-fold faith system, and there is a 100-fold faith. But let me assure you that 99.5 won't do on that first requirement. You have to be chosen, not called. Now, let me explain that. Of all of the house of Israel, all of the house of Israel will be called. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, these things that we have been taken for granted and been told that's in the Bible because someone has tampered with the original text. We have documentation to prove that some of the scriptures has been altered or changed. Now, one of the warnings that Christ gave us in Matthew 24 was that we would have a time of trouble such as never was, and many false prophets would arise and deceive many. Now, today we have prophets on every corner. We have a church on every corner. We have a belief system on every corner. All these who cannot agree on anything because of the fight or the jealousy or the envy, you know, large denominational systems like, well, let me give an example here. Let's just take the Southern Baptist, which I was a member of for many, many years. There's approximately 15 million in the United States. Yet out of that 15 million of those that belong to the Baptist Church, there's over 257 belief systems in the Baptist Church. Well, let's take the Methodist Church and compare it with the Baptist Church. The Methodists have an adoption of a method that they've worked out. That's why they're called Methodists. And they say that sprinkling is acceptable for salvation. Well, the Baptists who believe in immersion say that that's not true. We can't worship with you guys because you guys believe in sprinkling. And so, therefore, we're going to go over here and start us a church system because we believe in immersion. And then when they both come back together and you ask them the question, which is critical for truth, well, does water have anything to do with saving you? And both denominations say, well, no. Well, my question to you is, why do they fall out and argue and separate and will not worship together over the fact of something that is not essential in their belief system? Both of them acknowledge that water baptism has nothing to do with saving you. But is that right? Did Christ say in John 3:5, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven except you're born of the water and Spirit? Did the apostolic fathers suffer for preaching water baptism in the correct name, not the false name that we've been given now, but the correct name of the eternal God that created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1:1? Folks, he had a name then. Now, he made this name known in Exodus 3:14-15 to Moses. Now, this name has never changed. Although the denominational system and the religious status quo system has told us, we've been made to believe, that he has many names. Well, isn't that Babylon? To what name would you address? To what name would you swear allegiance to? And the bottom end question for you is recorded in Acts 4:11 and 12. Peter said, when he was preaching water baptism for the remission of sins, and folks, we've got away from the truth. There is no salvation in none other name. Now, wait a minute. If there's any truth in that statement, then there's only one name under heaven that's got salvation. And then why do we compromise with all of these other religious systems and adopt the humanist standpoint? Well, all God loves all people on the earth. And, you know, if you live a good, holy, just life, or if you just live a good, moral life, you're going to heaven. Well, the gays say they're going, that they have a right to swap their natural need for a woman, we're talking about the male gay in this case, and to cling to a male. Well, does the Bible condone homosexuality? Was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Has God changed his mind here in the New Testament? Does the mayors of New York and San Francisco openly now promoting marriages of same sex when the Bible says in Romans 1 and 20, it's an abomination? Well, who's crying out against it? Is this a conditional test to see how far that evil will be permitted? Do you know that Satan wants evil to prevail, and that the times of darkness, as the times of Jacob's trouble, is that Jacob will be troubled by all these things he sees, and yet he has been conditioned to be afraid to speak out against such things as we now see publicly displayed every day, and we take no thought of it, we raise no voice. The preachers will not take on these subjects if they're hot potatoes for them. They must stay within the political 501(c) group to maintain their tax-exempt status, and they sell out for a piece of bread. Are we to condone these things because it is not politically correct when we speak out against these things? When we speak out against racial or interracial marriages? When the different races are crossing bloodlines, which is against biblical principle truths from lid to lid? And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I went to see The Passion, or I'm going to see it, and there is a famous quotation there from Luke 23, verse 34, that says, Father, forgive him. Yes, they mistreated Christ. Folks, I'm going to ask you a question. If Christ stood for something, if he stood for a set of values, if he stood for his word and affirmed it to his own death, why would he on the torture stake forgive those who were guilty of inflicting death upon him and punishment for standing for that which was right, to condone that which is evil? Does it make any sense for you to believe that our Creator, who designed these laws and told us that all these wicked things were what brought the wrath of God and his judgment down upon the people of disobedience? And yet when our Savior Christ 2,000 years ago was crucified, we have it recorded in the Holy Bible that the very ones that killed him and were guilty of these things and these practices and condoning these things that God in the past spoke out against, and all of his prophets of the past had suffered and died for these things. You see, Christ is not the only one that suffered and died. We forget that. That Christ said himself that the blood of all the righteous prophets, starting with Abel. That's the second man born upon the planet. Unto Zechariah, who was killed between the porch and the altar by the religious world of that day for preaching against the atrocities, the sins, the wickedness, the condoning, the unjustness that was prevailing in the land. Zechariah is the same one that said only one third will remain to come through the fire as pure gold. Are you one of those tonight, or are you caught up in a darkness? You see, ladies and gentlemen, it actually never gets dark in the United States. We got oil. We got these electric mills that are grinding out artificial light. And so then we have no fear of a darkness. I want to ask you a question. Let's just say that a major earthquake happened tomorrow, and it actually shut down all the electrical grid systems around the world, and we had no artificial light whatsoever. And then some giant cloud would come in and block out the light of the sun, and it would be nothing but total darkness over the face of the land, and no one could see anything, not even a hand in front of them. How long would it take for man being alone in the darkness until he actually went stark raving mad because he's conditioned to see light in an artificial form and accept truth in an artificial form? The Bible said, make sure that the light in you be not darkness, and that's what I'm talking about. We have been conditioned to think in certain terms that we're in the truth when in fact we're out of the truth. We're actually fighting against the truth, or would fight against the truth if it came. The Bible said, if they did this to me, they'll do it to you. If they hated me, they'll hate you. If they despise me, they'll despise you. If they kill me, they'll kill you. If they separate themselves from me, they'll separate themselves from you for the truth. And the question remains, what is truth? Well, let me assure you that homosexuality is still wrong. Same-sex marriages, the Bible said, believe in the natural use of their own bodies toward the opposite sex. You see, the truth is that we are now being conditioned to think, well, it's okay. You know, the earth don't fall when they do it. You know, and there's just a few of them. Let's not complain about it. And the first thing you know, two-thirds of the population have gone over to these things that brings them into the two-thirds majority of those that's going to be destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Are we so cold and indifferent and separated and mind-conditioned with these politically correct bell boxes that teach, well, you know, God will handle that all himself, and, you know, you don't get involved, and don't be a rebel-rouser, or don't cry out, don't speak out. That's what got Christ. He was a rebel-rouser. That's what got him killed. That's what got the prophets of old. That's what got Isaiah sawn asunder, because he cried out against the sins of the house of Israel. Well, what is sin today? Well, the Bible said that sin is a transgression of the law. Well, we're not under the law, Pastor Buddy. Haven't you heard? Well, we're under grace. The bellbox preachers tell us that there is no sin today. We don't have a law to measure us. Well, the Bible says this. If a man says he loves God and won't keep his commandments, he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. Don't you think that the first prerequisite is that you know the commandments? And if you know the commandments, it's a law that says... the bull got killed for, now we get a pat on the back for. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not true. Truth has stood for centuries, and truth will remain standing while the world is on fire, because we are committing these things that were condemned by them, that brought them death. And now when you condemn these things and you've got the intestinal fortitude to stand up in the backbone and the boldness, remember the Bible said that they whipped the apostolic fathers in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts and the fifth chapter. They whipped them and they beat them just like they whipped Christ and beat him. For the same truth that he preached, they preached also, having received the boldness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they spoke without fear. They spoke in perfect love. The Bible said perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment. And we have been educated to think that we need Big Brother to watch over us, that somebody's going to come in and take away our nation. Folks, the people that are running our nation are taking it away piecemeal by piecemeal, law by law, where now you have no rights whatsoever as a free thinker. They think for you. You have to stay within a framework of thought that the government has established for you, when we ought to send men to Washington, D.C. to think in terms of righteous thinking, as did our forefathers when they founded this great nation upon the divine principles to address and to adhere to the holy word of God. Now, it's even wrong to even speak the name of God or bring up the Bible in the classroom. We can't have church and state working together, because we are to keep church and state separate. But ladies and gentlemen, wasn't it the church or the moral conditions and the truths of the church that founded this nation, and then the members of those that believed in the Christian faith went to Washington, D.C. to make laws guaranteed to guarantee those rights? Instead, we have let the fox into the hen house, and we're losing chickens or losing rights, and we wonder what's wrong. And we turn and try to find the problem when the problem is in the hen house called the fox. And who are these foxes that have come into our being as God's holy people? But isn't it strange that humanism, worldism, worshiping those things which are made in honor of the creature rather than the creator? Did you know that? That's exactly what the Bible says, that these people in Romans chapter 1, where I gave you the expression that it's wrong to have homosexuals laying in the street, kissing, lip-locking, right on television. Who would dare to show this? Would God's holy people who own the television stations, would they show such things if they were men of God? Would not they be embarrassed? And that they would not want to promote it through media exposure, but they have night after night on national news, on television, around the world for everyone to see, that these gays, these are those that, well, let me just read it to you in the Word of God here. Sin will be punished, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And that's just exactly what I said when Pilate wanted to know what truth was. Do you think that he would have been willing to step up and suffer for the truth? You see, truth has a price. You must speak up. You cannot be indifferent. You cannot be a silent majority, as we've been told that we are. Christians are a silent majority. We're supposed to suffer long, and we cannot have all of these. We can't go against the laws of the land. Folks, we can change the laws. I'm not advocating violence or rebellion. I'm telling you that it's time for us to stand up, as the minorities of the past have stood up to gain a voice, and now the voice has gone over to that, and it's the, in other words, the tilt has gone too far, the pendulum has swung too far to the left, and now we need to bring it back to its proper place in the equation, and that is righteousness and truth. Because they which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Here's God himself showing people, and it's those people that know the truth that are going to be held responsible if they don't do the truth. The Bible said it'd be better for you not to know the way than to know it and not go it. So don't believe that you're going to escape because you sit back and become indifferent. You become a couch quarterback, let's say. You're one of those that referee from the couch. You just sit on your couch behind your closed doors and you murmur and complain. And that's a part of what Israel's all about. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. So there's no excuse. Because there is a higher power that one of these days, the whole world, now it's individual because God is visiting the heart of those who, and testing. He said, behold, in the time of trouble, call upon me and I'll deliver you. See, these troubles are coming to get you to turn to him. And when you see all these things come to pass, what did Christ say? Begin to look up. When you see nation against nation, when you see homosexuality as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when you see that increase, you know that the time is nigh. When you see as they was in the days of Noah, they were race mixing. They were interracial mixing together, crossing bloodlines, which is against the scriptures and the truth. And yet there's not enough pastors, preachers, or teachers that has the ability or the gumption or the intestinal fortitude or just the raw courage to stand up. But you're without excuse. There is no excuse according to the Bible here, because that which when they knew God. And did you know that 63% of the United States of America profess to be Christian? 63%. And you'll ask them if they know God. Of course they know God. But listen to this. They glorified him not as God. How do you glorify him? You exemplify through the life that he is or what he's all about, what he stood for. You stand for the same thing. What about unclean meats? Oh, well, now God cleaned everything. Ain't nothing unclean now. We can eat anything we want, brother, buddy. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Shunda. And the preachers agree with it. Well, that was under the law. We don't have to do that no more. Folks, this has got ridiculous. How we've justified our sins to break over and do those things which is not convenient. We became vain in our imagination, and our foolish heart has been darkened. Professing ourselves to be wise, we've become the biggest fools. Because I said, he that won't stand for something will fall for anything. And that's exactly, we changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image likened to corruptible man. We brought it down to a man's opinion. If we got a big enough crowd, I don't care whether they're telling the truth or not, if it's evil, if it's unjust, unholy, if there's a big enough crowd, then people love crowds, and they will flock to these churches. Just look at the Roman Catholic Church, the largest church, Christian church in the world. Look at it. Under indictment for hundreds of thousands of sexual perverted priesthood, raping young boys of age 9 to 15. And the Catholic Church has paid out hundreds of millions of dollars. And now we have a movie that glorifies Mother Mary and exemplifies the passion of Christ, why he was killed. But we won't stand in this day for what brought death to Christ was the honor and the integrity and the backbone to speak out against that which was wrong. Well, you know, there's a compromise area where we become lukewarm. Well, you know what the Bible says about those that become lukewarm? Because you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Are we going to get lukewarm against all these sins that are being practiced right under our nose, and yet we are the largest church-going people in the world, the United States, and yet the United States has become Babylon, the great, the harlot, filthy abominations, the people doing worse than they was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we expect this nation to be blessed and continue on without falling? Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that history has never afforded any nation that has grown to the greatness and the stature of the United States to continue on as it is with blessings? No nation has ever survived with the sin and evil that is prevailing in our land in this day, and there will be no exception. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So therefore, God gave them up. Did you know there's a point that God cannot even get to their heart because their foolish heart is darkened? And their conscience is seared with a hard iron. And because there's so many of them does these evil sins that everybody assumes that it must be okay and is condoned by the leaders of our land. Because you see, when our leaders in the land get up to run for office, they got to court these particular groups. Or at least they feel like they do. And in doing so, they become partakers of their evil ways and become more condemned than those that actually do these things in a sinner state. You see, those that know to do good and do it not, it's a sin. Gave them up to the lust of uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And we've got these men kissing and marrying with the mayors of our cities. That mayor should be lynched. He should be cooked out and hung to the highest tree for condoning such things because it goes against the Christian principles, and yet we're not a Christian nation or a Christian people speaking for the truth of the Word of God. Therefore, they change the truth of God into a lie and worship the creature more than and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Folks, if every gay, if every homosexual would come out of the closet and tell the truth, this nation would probably, and the government itself, would be overrun and overwhelmed with the numbers that would come out of the closet, and those that do are enough to bring shock, except that your spirit or your conscience is seared with a hot iron and you don't care, or you're indifferent and you say every man for his own cup of tea, when the Bible says that even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, for even their women changed the now we've got promotion. We have the lesbians kissing on national television, and it's owned by God's holy people. Controlled by God's holy people. Something wrong here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me very quickly tell you the proof of Luke 23, verse 34. You're going to be astonished, as I was when I learned the true translation of Luke chapter 23, verse 34. You say, well, Pastor, but I don't even know what it says. Well, let me encourage you to do this. Get you a Greek interlinear for the New Testament and get you a Hebrew interlinear, English, for the Old Testament and do your study. Study to show yourself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, to be approved. Study to show yourself approved. Get into the Bible. Start doing your word search. You see, there's nobody that's going to lose your soul but you. If you've been lulled to sleep or conditioned to think that all these things that because people are doing and no wrath of God is revealed from heaven against these things, well, maybe you just haven't been to the hospitals. Maybe you just haven't looked into the insane asylums where these demons and people are possessed with demons. Maybe you just haven't been to the doctor's offices and seeing them cram full where doctors are being added daily to handle the overflow and the overspill of our hospitals and mental institutions and all those that are medically equipped to handle all these problems that are now coming up on our society. And let me warn you, God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. Notice this, verse 27, and likewise the men. Now, I saw today in a little town in New York State by the mayor, and he is condoning this, I saw two men married and were kissing openly. They were lip-locked together, two men. Ladies and gentlemen, 100 years ago, those two same men would have been taken out and hanged if they did that in a public setting. You say, well, Pastor, but if they have to hide to do it, what's the difference in hiding to do it and doing it openly? It doesn't matter. Well, it is the permissiveness that we have allowed our nation to come to that's going to bring its downfall. And only the true prophets of God will warn you before the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. We're crying in the streets, just like Christ was. He was drugged through the streets. He was hung on a pole. He was bruised for iniquity, of course. And he bared the sins of the people. There had to be a sacrifice acceptable. But ladies and gentlemen, that sacrifice has done been given, and not one more drop of his blood will be shed. Now it's up to you to run the race. It's up to you to call upon him in the day of trouble. And we are in a dark time over our land and country. These men, leaving the natural use of a woman, cling to men and lusted one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is met, even because that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now let me expound that. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know that their heart and conscience has condemned them for doing so. It's against the natural nature of a man to desire a man, another man. Because for procreation did we have these opposites, that it would take a male and a female to bring forth. You see, two men cannot bring forth. Now they're letting them adopt children. The laws, the liberal laws of our land, all of our judges should be taken down one by one, set down before a Christian council, and examined. You see, Judge Moore down in Alabama, when he was even taken off the court because he was in favor of leaving God's Ten Commandments in the hall for people to see as they went by on their way to see the judges and to sit in the jury boxes and things of this nature, and they removed the visible Word of God from their presence because their heart and conscience was being pricked, and these liberal ACLUs and the ADLs, these are God's holy people now, ladies and gentlemen, that are doing away with God's holy laws. Can a holy people be holy and do away with God's laws? I don't think so. When in fact, those that are holy will love God and keep his commandments, and those that says he loves God and will not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. But we have been sold a bill of goods. We've been rocked to sleep. Our conscience has been seared with a hot iron, and now we're calling good evil and evil good. If you stand up in these days, oh, you're just a troublemaker. Did you know that Micah was thrown in prison because everything that the kings of that day and their religious seem right governments, every time that they wanted to have a bill passed, Micah would stand up and speak out against it because it wasn't according to the Word of God. And every time they wanted to do or make a decision, Micah would condemn it. And so they sought them out, soothsayers, those who would favor them. And now we've got preachers that have sold out. I don't know if you watch TBN or not, and all these other religious stations that's affiliated around the world, and the people that they permit to come on to their stations. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but they are there. And they have money to get on. We wonder where they get this money. and the prestige and the power to justify all these things. Women look like Jezebels. Men look like, well, they look like sissies to me. Is there any men and women left in the United States of America and around the world where tonight we're on the station that goes around the world that carries the voice of truth around the world in the Shepherd's Call, Pastor Buddy, speaking out against these things that were sin in those days, that they killed those that spoke out against those things like they did Micah. They threw him in jail for speaking out against the truth. The Bible said the truth is what you will be hated for, not loved for. So therefore, if you want to be loved, just stay away from the truth. Just preach the lie. Go along with the things that seem right rather than the things that are right. You see, there's so many things wrong in our nation now that the preachers of truth are having to stand up. And remember what it says, Hosea 6:4, and I'm closing out tonight's message, darkness over the land. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Therefore, now that's bad enough. My people destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, what is the lack of knowledge? Is it because that we didn't get a good education? We can't read and write? No, that's probably not what it is, because a lot of people that can't read and write do know or have got knowledge. We're talking about natural instilled goodness out of the heart of a blushing people, a people that can blush. People that can show blood in the face and be ashamed, as was Azariah. You see, when they begin to go across the borders, I'm talking about the house of Israel, when they and begin to mix with the people in the land and bring home daughters and sons and marry, when they begin to do that, Azariah was so ashamed of these things, of breaking the commandments of God, which God said to keep themselves unspotted and unseparated from the world, keep themselves separated from the world, not to join the world. And yet when they come home with all of these things and committing these sins, Ezra, the Bible said, blushed when he looked up to the Creator. Do you have a feeling of guilt? Are you burdened with these things that are happening in the world? You say, Pastor Buddy, I can't do nothing about it. I know it's wrong. But who am I to speak out? Ladies and gentlemen, you can help those that are speaking if you will just help those that's got the courage to speak out. Sponsor those that's got the boldness of the truth of the Word of God to warn our nation. The only way we're going to save our nation, the only way we're going to reclaim it, is take it back one at a time. We've lost it one at a time, one vote at a time. We've sent the wrong congressmen, the wrong senators, and the wrong presidents. We've sent the wrong people. We permitted the wrong people to come into our country. The Bible says these wicked men will come in unaware, but it's a planned agenda of enemy, and I'm going to prove it to you in my last verse of scripture that I'll give you this evening. Listen to me as I read in the chapter that is actually frightening, and that's in the 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and it's in the 27th verse. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel. Now, that's the United States and Great Britain and the blushing people of the earth. I will sow them. This word sow is in the Strong's number, meaning mingle together with blood. I will mingle the blood of the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man. That means that Israel and Judah, the two houses of Israel and Judah, are different from the house of man or the seed of man. Well, that's another long story, but that's true. But he says, I will mingle them with the seed of man and with the seed of the beast. So now we've got all this mingling together. The strangers in the land, marrying, given in marriage, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was when Lot fled the city. And the Bible said the wrath of God was revealed from heaven against all those that were unrighteous. And the Bible said in the days of Noah, when they were marrying and given in marriage, interracial mixing, all these things that promoted the downfall of a strong nation. Now, we don't have anything against the black race or the yellow race or the white race. That's nothing against that. That's good because God made that that way in its original form. What is wrong with man when he mixes and mingles and gets it to where that there becomes a mingling problem and that creates a hybrid and there is the sin of the house of Israel? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Shepherd's Call. It's Pastor Buddy. I'm in here tonight for a special one-hour broadcast. We'll be on Sunday night on WWCR 5070 around the world at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in our regular time slot. We're here tonight for a special one-hour presentation on the time of darkness. And we hope that you've enjoyed the message. We hope that you have been enlightened in the age of darkness of what's going on. Now, if you agree with Pastor Buddy, I want you to comment tonight. I'm live. This is the 27th day of the month of February in the year 2004. So I'm live. I'm in the studios tonight live. You can call me tonight. Area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Call me tonight. Praise Yahweh. And we'll see you Sunday night. Yahweh bless.